Thank you, Dwight. You got it right. Someone said, go to church Sunday. If Jesus can rise from the dead, you can rise from the bed. And how true it is. And we're so glad that all of you are here this morning to worship God with all of us who have come. And we hope and pray this morning that our lesson will not be too rough on you this morning on sandpaper. But, you know, I asked Dwight to lead that song just right before the lesson this morning, Angry Words, because so often in our life we speak angry words, not kind words, and we have to be very, very careful. There were three rough-looking bikers one time who stopped at a truck stop, and when they walked in, they decided to sit down there, but they looked over and saw this kind of grizzly old-timer having breakfast himself. And one of the bikers walked over to where the old man was. He had a cigarette in his hand, and he just stuck it down in the old man's pancakes and tried to put it out. Well, the man didn't say anything. And after a little bit, the second biker spits a wad of chewing tobacco into the old man's coffee. And the third biker dumps a whole plate of pancakes on the floor. And without a word, the old guy pays his bill and gets up and leaves. And one of the bikers said, not much of a man, was he? And the waiter says, he's not much of a driver either. He just ran over three motorcycles out in the parking lot. You know, sometimes in our life, we have to be very, very careful about what we say and how we say it. And I'm convinced this morning that we have a lot of people that are rough around the edges. You know what I mean by that? I've heard people say, well, you know, he's a pretty good guy, but he's a little rough around the edges. And maybe that's true. And that prompted me to come up with an unusual sermon entitled Spiritual Sandpaper. You know, in life, we use sandpaper. How many of you have ever used sandpaper? You know what it does, don't you? You know how to use it? Well, why does wood need sanding? Well, it's because it's rough around the edges. It's amazing how you can create something out of a block of wood by just sanding it down in the right way. Or maybe you've tried to refinish furniture and maybe used a little sandpaper, regardless of whatever the grade was. Your objective was to make it smooth and to make it more attractive. Jesus worked with wood all of his life. You don't have a whole lot of information about the life of Jesus other than the fact that he worked in a carpenter shop with his father prior to his ministry. Jesus, from age zero, I guess, or first age, up until his 12th year, We don't know a whole lot about that, but then from 12 all the way up to age 30, we know nothing at all. There are about 18 years of silence there. But the vast majority of what we read about him, that is Jesus, describes his miraculous birth and then the life that we have information for recorded in the Gospels. But when you are polishing on this piece of furniture, you will know that it's going to look different, that it's going to be beautiful. And I just picture Jesus working in his father Joseph's carpenter shop and maybe working with his hands and doing all kinds of things. And so this morning, I want us to talk about it from a spiritual standpoint. Okay, what is it? What is spiritual sandpaper anyway? You know, the Bible does say of Jesus, however, in Acts 1 and verse 1, the former treatise have I made with thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. But what about those other 29 years? We don't know a whole lot, even from his birth up until age 12. We don't really know a whole lot. All we know is that he was a carpenter by trade. And matter of fact, many of his teachings were based upon what he did. And one thing Jesus would say to us, it is not about what it is, it's about what it could become. Now, Dr. Seuss said that, but I can tell you that is so true. Christ is not so interested today in where we have come from, but where we are going, what we are going to be doing with our life. Everything actually is an opportunity for us to grow, no matter how minuscule it is or how incremental. God can use every individual to do His will, and we should remember how we got through something and avoid repeating that same mistake. Now, the way that we do that is with spiritual sandpaper. We do. Let me, first of all, share with you number one this morning. Sandpaper, does a lot of things. And when we think of it in a spiritual way, I want to talk about the sandpaper of difficult times. You know, all of us go through difficult times, and you know, we need a little sanding, all of us. I don't care who we are. We all go through those difficult times in life. But suffering is the sandpaper of our incarnation, and it does its work of shaping us. You know, think about that. When you were going through trials, at the moment you may not have understood exactly what it was all about or what you were going through. But then if you look back in retrospect, you realize that there are things that you've learned through that spiritual sanding that you had to go through in life. David said in Psalms 119:71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, sanded. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." Think about it. You are the wood. And there are different kinds of sandpaper in life. We all have to be buffed a little bit. Everything that happens in our life, from the smallest details to the most pivotal moments in life, actually can help us grow and develop. You grow more through trials than you do through blessings. When God placed us here in this world, we understood that we're going to have trials and tribulations. That's what Christ said. He said, but, you know, don't be so disturbed about it, because I have overcome the world. And then we read in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, consider that. You and I are to grow. We are, because we make mistakes in life. Someone said that more people would learn from their mistakes if they weren't so busy actually denying that they made them. Sometimes it's hard for us to really be transparent with one another. It's hard for us to open up and admit that we make mistakes. I think I told some of you the story about the woman who came to her preacher and said, I have sinned grievously. And he looked at her and he said, well, what is it? You can tell me. And she said, oh, no, it's just so horrible. I couldn't tell you what it is. And I said, well, it's all right. You can tell me. And so anyway, the woman looked at her preacher and says, well, I'll tell you, my sin is that the first thing I do in the morning when I get up is I go to the mirror and I look at myself in the mirror and I admire myself and I think, my, how beautiful I am. It is the sin of vanity. And he looked at her and he said, oh, honey, don't be so disturbed. He said, that's no sin. That's just a mistake. You know, in life, we all make mistakes. I don't care who we are. They happen. And most days, we don't recognize the spiritual sandpaper that is out there that God brings into our life. You know what? When you begin to get a little rough around the edges, God will start using someone to sand you down and to take away the rough places. As it is with a tree, growth doesn't typically happen very quick. It comes in spurts. Have you ever noticed that? And Romans 8:28 says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purposes. And even though we may be a little rough around the edges, we know that God can smooth us out. Working diligently with joy, for the Lord on a consistent basis helps us to develop the character that we are. It helps us to endure when we want to give up. It helps us to be humble when we are so filled with pride in our own lives. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, that whatever your hand finds to do, you are to do it with all of your might. We must work through our problems. There it is again. Whatever you do, another translation, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. What does that really mean? To whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. It means the fact that you and I ought to be serving God to the very best of our ability. And that's why God sends us, to make us beautiful, doesn't he? Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be great. That's what God does. God wants you to be great. He wants me to be great. He wants all of his children. You know why? He created us as his children. And when, you know what? I tell people all the time, when a child is born into this world, God makes no mistakes. There is a reason why a child is born the way he is. Whether we believe that or not. Romans 5, verse 3 and 4 is a great passage of Scripture, and it reminds us of something. The Bible says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many of you glory in tribulations? Probably not many. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and some of the most common ones we miss in life are hard work, waiting, mistakes, actually dealing with people. How many of you know it's difficult when you have to deal with people in life? When God brought the Israelites out of Egypt and finally brought them into the promised land over the River Jordan, in Joshua chapter 4, the Bible tells us that they erected what they call the Ebenezer stone. And the word Ebenezer means, thus far the Lord has helped us. So what you consider to be something that may be hurting you, at the same time may be helping you, God may be sending you, and we should join again with David, who said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I've been sanded, that I might learn your will. You know, when you think about sanding, you think about suffering too, when you think of it in a spiritual way. So why does God allow suffering? That's always been a big question in the minds of people. Why does God, or why do good people suffer in life? God didn't create suffering, first of all, let me tell you. Certainly starvation is a good example of that. God didn't create that. He is not pleased when we suffer. Suffering exists in this world as a result of the collective human consciousness of mankind. Because God gave you a free will. If enough people believe something should be done to prevent the suffering of starvation, then indeed we would stop it. We do our best, do we not? But some people are being sanded by starvation today and not having the necessities of life. But according to the book of Hebrews 5 and verse 8, Christ learned obedience, listen to this, through the things which he suffered. And then the Bible says, then being made perfect, and that word perfect means mature, then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all of them that obey him. Christ obeyed God. Did he go through sanding? Absolutely. Why would we think that we are immune to it? Why would we think that we don't have to suffer in this life? If Jesus of Nazareth went to the cross and shed his blood for all mankind, why is it that we feel that we can be circumvented from suffering in this life? We must all walk through difficult times, for it is in these difficult times of adversity that we learn the principles that really fortify us and build us to become what God really wants us to be. The Bible says that we're to draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto us. James 4 and verse 8. And remember, it could be just a piece of sandpaper. It could be. You may be going through a sanding today and not even knowing it. I want you to consider, secondly, the sanding of waiting. You know, one of the hardest things in the world for us to do is to wait. It is. Whether you're sitting at a traffic signal and maybe the red light seems excessively long. And by the way, we've got a few of those around Poundstown. Y'all know that? I mean, we sit there and sometimes you have that temptation to look around and then just kind of dart on through if you don't see any traffic. We don't like the sandpaper of waiting. We don't like to wait it out in a doctor's office. Someone said some of the most ridiculous words you will ever hear come from a doctor's office. Someone says, the doctor will be with you in just a minute. How many of you have ever been there know what I'm talking about? Now, we don't like to wait. If it's a line at Walmart or wherever you are at a restaurant and they hadn't gotten your food there like as quick as you think they ought to, we don't like to wait. We look at the clock as if to think that's going to help, but it doesn't. It takes a period of time for us to grow. It's just like a tree, isn't it? Or just like a plant when you stop and think about it. It takes its time for that plant to bloom. Did you know that it is in the little moments of triumph that builds over time that makes us strong? For in the book of Psalms 1 and verse 3, King David, at the very beginning in his very first psalm, makes an important statement. He says, we're like a tree that is planted by the streams of water that will yield its fruit in its season. Notice that. You and I are like a tree that's planted by the water. It takes time for a tree to grow. You don't just go out there and plant a seedling and then tomorrow it's way up here. It doesn't happen that way. And it doesn't happen with those of us who are children of God. We have to learn to be patient. Wait. Waiting for anything, whether it's short or long or serious or trivial, it teaches us the ability to have patience, according to a number of passages. But I've heard people say, well, I don't want to wait. You may not want to wait, but God will make you wait. Back in the first century, the disciples were real concerned about the coming of the Lord, and they were wondering how long they're going to have to wait. People today are questioning. You know, they look at the world and they see how immoral and ungodly it has become. And people are saying, you know, if God doesn't come quick, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm telling you, our world is terrible. And we say, how long will God allow this to go on? David in Psalms 130 and verse 5 echoed these words, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word I put my hope. And that's the key to all of it. Wait for the Lord, Psalms 27 and verse 14, and be strong and take heart and wait again on the Lord. And remember, waiting, why, it's just a little piece of sandpaper. And it's making you better. Listen, if you look at it in that way, it can make you better. And it can do one of two things. It'll either make you better or it'll make you bitter. How many of you make mistakes? Anybody in here make mistakes? We make plenty of them every day. I make plenty of them every day. And those I don't see, my wife reminds me of. But we make mistakes. There is the sandpaper of mistakes. The chains of habit are generally too small to be felt until they're too strong to be broken. Sometimes we make minor mistakes in life. Sometimes we make major ones. But God can redeem and use anything for his glory if we let him, even our mistakes and our sins. Isn't it interesting how God can take someone who was corrupt and bad and horrible, any adjective you want to use to describe that person's life, and how God could turn it into something very brilliant and very beautiful and very usable. and beyond the incredible humility that smooths out our sharp pride. Our pride gets in the way a lot of times, doesn't it? Mistakes push us into the arms of Jesus. You know, if it weren't for problems in this life, a lot of people would never go to Christ. But because they've had problems and because they've been through difficult times and moments in their life, they are drawn unto Jesus. Didn't Christ say, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me? For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Listen to that. Ordered by the Lord. Orchestrated. He has the blueprint. You mean God is so in touch with your life, He orders certain things? Absolutely. And He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his own hand. God is there to lift us up, for you are precious. You are a soul that's so important in the eyes of God. Even all of your flaws, you have some wonderful qualities. I don't care who you are. You cannot correct your mistakes, however, by pointing out the mistakes of other people. It's true. But a lot of times we go through life trying to point out the flaws of everybody else. We don't look at ourselves inwardly and say, hey, that's where I need to do better. Hey, that's where I need a little sanding. You know why we don't do that? It's because we start trying to justify what we do. And we have to be careful. I tell you, if people really read the Holy Word of God even more every day, they would find out their mistakes. And they would find out that maybe God's sending me at this moment. Maybe He is. But they don't understand it because they hadn't read the Word. You know, there are a lot of things in life we read about. And we read and maybe things we didn't know. I read a few things this last week that it just blew my mind. And I thought, well, I've never heard that before. Did you know that a red flag, you know, these bullfighters that throw out the red flag? I used to think they got angry at the color of the red. Did you know that bulls are colorblind? People talk about Rome burning while Nero fiddled. Did you know that that's wrong? Did you know that fiddles were not even invented when Rome burned? And that Nero was 35 miles away from Rome when it burned? Did you know that the ostrich never buries its head in the sand? It only looks that way when it lowers its head in fear. He's afraid. Or he does to feed himself. Or he does to cover up eggs so they're not harmed. I can tell you, we all need to get back to reading the Word of God and remember this. You may be going through just a little sanding. It may be happening. And God's telling you to wait. You don't like it. What about the sandpaper, as I mentioned a moment ago, of difficult people? How many of you have ever had problems with difficult people? How many of you are difficult people? Some of us don't want to admit that we are difficult to deal with. We are. You know, in a husband and wife relationship, sometimes it's kind of difficult, isn't it? It is. Marriages don't stay together because it becomes so difficult. How many of you know the difference between the word completed and the word finished? I'm going to complete this sermon in a minute. But do you know the difference between completed and finished? Actually, the dictionary has not been able to define the difference for us. But someone said in a linguistic conference in England a man by the name of Sherman on Indian, he was an Indian American, in other words, was the clever winner of being able to define the difference between the two. His response was, when you marry the right woman, you are complete. If you marry the wrong woman, you are finished. I can tell you, there's so many things in the Word of God, we should never, ever be through with learning. We should be learning every day and learning even from difficult people that we have to deal with. Sometimes God uses difficult people like sandpaper to rub the rough edges on our life, or to bring us into a relationship with Him, to get rid of our flaws, our sins that keep us away from God. There are some who rub and sand people in the wrong way. Now, mind you, I realize that there's a right way to sand and a wrong way to sand. Sometimes you can sand the wrong way and cause more problems than you had. And that's true, all right. But sometimes God allows people to come into your life for the purpose of sanding you and getting rid of your rough edges. But make sure that you sand in the right way. Whether it's someone we love or a stranger, at a traffic signal, we encounter people who act like sandpaper every day. Human beings keep looking for a religion that will give us access to God without having to bother with people. That's why sometimes people won't come to worship God in a public assembly like this, because they don't want to be around people. Well, you think you're going to change when you get to heaven? You probably won't make it there, since you don't want to be around other people. Scriptures clearly indicate unto us that we're all interconnected. I don't care who you are. And we are made, according to the Word of God, to love each other. For Proverbs 27, verse 6 and verse 17 tells us, be helpful. Do the right thing. For when you see a friend who has wounds, do what you can to lift them up. And be the kind of person you ought to be. Oh, there are always, when you talk about difficult people, there are always people that have an axe to grind. You know what I'm talking about. They're always upset about something. Something's in their craw, and they're mad, and they're upset, and they let you know it real quickly. They need to put their tongue, actually, on the sanding machine. And then there is the sandpaper of God's eternal Word. How many of you have ever been reading the Bible, and suddenly you realize, hey, man, He's speaking to me. He's talking to me. Or have you ever felt like maybe that when the preacher's up preaching the Word of God, that he's talking directly to you? I've had people come out and tell me that. Boy, you were preaching right at me today. There is the sandpaper called the Word of God. And the Bible does sand us, doesn't it? It cuts us down to size, to who we are. When you begin to think that you are somebody, you find out that you are a nobody. But you can become a somebody through Jesus. Nobody likes truth. Someone said, because it's bitter. And everyone wants lies because it's sweet. And so we seek to accommodate them. But did you realize that the person sitting right next to you this morning may be your sandpaper? They may have offended you, but God brought them into your life as sandpaper, spiritually, to sand you and to make you the beautiful person you can become. Never worry, I learned this a long time ago, about who will be offended if you speak truth. Worry about who will be misled and deceived and destroyed if you don't. Sometimes we're so afraid of being offended to the masses of people out there in the world that we're afraid to really preach the truth, to preach the gospel. And we want God to accept people just the way they are. I'm telling you, God doesn't accept us the way we are. He brings you to Himself. He sands you down, either by making you wait through difficult people. I mean, it could be sickness and suffering. It could be all kinds of things. And He doesn't just offend us by sanding us one time and that's it. Sometimes we have to be sanded again. And blessed is he whomsoever is not offended in me. Luke chapter 7. You know, Christ asked people to do a lot of things in life. And sometimes, actually, there are things that we don't want to do. And we feel like I want to become great in life. You know what? To become great in life, you got to be low, not high. Not high-minded, but low, humble. Humble yourselves and under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up, James says. But sometimes we go through life. We don't want to be sanded, but we want to sand everybody else. We want to cut everybody else down to size, but we don't want anybody dare you to cut me down. That's the way that we look at life, isn't it? And so sometimes people are sanded by the horrible criticism of other people. God has a plan. We just have to trust it and live it and obey it and enjoy it. We do. Instead of being so critical, sand in the right way. As I said, there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. You can point out the mistakes of other people if your intention is not to elevate yourself. But if it is to help that person become the kind of person that God wants him to be or her to be, don't be overly critical with other people. That's not sanding. Sometimes people criticize one another without knowing the facts. There was a man one time who had a baby with him on a train. And the baby was crying. And people got disturbed. And one big fellow walked over to where he was and said, "Why don't you get that baby to shut up? Take it to its mother." And the man with the baby said, "I would. But she's in the casket in the cargo car. We're taking her home to bury her." And the big man sat down and then later said, "You know, we raised several kids at our house. Let me take the baby." And as the tired father fell asleep, the big critic walked the baby up and down the aisle and sang lullabies. Don't criticize until you know the big picture, the whole story. And by the way, it's never right to criticize. But realize that God may be sending you at this moment. He may be sending you with this sermon. You may not like it. I didn't determine to preach it because I thought you would. Preaching this lesson this morning because God did lay it on my heart to do it. In studying His Word, He lays a lot of them on my heart. And it may be that God is sending you right now. And whether you accept it or you may be resisting it. But if you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you someday hope to go to heaven and to live with God, then I would suggest that you become a Christian God may be rubbing on you right now, sanding you. But you play a big part in this also. Because until you yield yourself unto Him and allow Him to do His job, it'll never happen. That's why we're told for us to do our part. That's to believe in Christ and repent of our sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, that we might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I would suggest to you this morning, it is to let the sandpaper of God's Word fashion you into something that can become very, very beautiful. And it may be that you're already a Christian, you're already a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, but there's some areas of your life that need sanding again, and you know it. I hope that you'll put yourself in the hand of the one who can make you beautiful, and that's Jesus. Let us stand and let us sing.